Kemba Walker returns and looks good. Jaylen Brown looked great. And the transition defense was, Brad Stevens got jokes about that on this Monday, Sunday night, Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hi, John Corrales here, MassLive.com Boston Celtics beat reporter. After the Boston Celtics 117-103 scrimmage win over the Phoenix Suns in Orlando, thanks for checking out the podcast. If you're new, first-time listener, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoy it. If you're a regular listener, thanks for coming back. Thanks for making the show part of your daily routine. Still here for you Monday through Friday. And now that basketball's back, we're going to stay on that Monday through Friday grind. So really appreciate you checking it out. Today, the post-game pod, beginning, first segment, positives. The positives from this afternoon game, which include Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, even Jason Tatum. The negatives, the transition defense was just horrible. And Enes Kanter drives me crazy sometimes. Third segment, just some of the other odds and ends, including some good looks from Romeo Langford, Tremont Waters, Carson Edwards actually looked good too. Smart was kind of interesting, and we still can't throw alley-oops in Boston. That's just the thing. All of this is brought to you by Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com if you are a car owner. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Let's start here with those positives that I was talking about. Let's start right with Kemba Walker, because we finally got to see him play. The one thing I've been waiting for all of this time is to see Kemba Walker play basketball, so we wouldn't have to rely on just the Celtics giving us the whatever the word is on Kemba. Like, I want to see it. I want to see it for myself. Well, we saw it. I saw it for myself. You saw it for yourself. 9 minutes and 21 seconds of Kemba Walker. He showed a nice burst of speed. Very first time he got it, left wing, DeAndre Ayton switches out on him, and he's like, all right, Kemba's like, I'm just going to take the big. I'm going to just blow right by him. Now, the last time we saw him play was in March in Indiana, and I was at that game, and he just, that was not a play that he was going to make. Not at that level. Not at the level that we saw on Sunday from Kemba Walker. I mean, blew right by Ayton. Then he stopped, rose up, Ayton trying to recover, crashes into Kemba. Kemba absorbs the contact, finishes with a tough layup, gets to the free throw line. That's perfect. Perfect. We saw him coming off of screens. He looked good coming off of screens. Pull-up jumpers looked good. He was, I think, for a first appearance and knowing that it was only going to be a short stint, looked good. I've got no real concerns right now about Kemba. After the game, said it felt good. So right now, so far, so good. So my Kemba concern level, which I think when we first heard the knee was problematic again, we're like on a scale of 1 to 10. At that point, it was like a 6. It was like, oh, okay. Well, what's going on? As the updates have come, I've started to like lower it. Going into this game, I was probably at like a 3 or 4. Now I'm down to like a 2 or a 3. So that's it's slowly calming itself down. I don't know if I'm ever going to get below a 2. I guess it depends on, you have to get to the playoffs. That's the next stage of getting that concern level down to 0. I don't know if it's going to get to 0. I'm always going to have a concern about his knee. I think just from now on, I'm always going to have a concern about his knee. So it's just always going to be there. But if it's always at like a 1 or a 2, that's fine. We'll deal with that. And if it can get down there soon, which I think it's kind of at like a 2 or a 3 right now. If once you get into the playoffs, if he gets through playoff games and comes out of these playoff games, those early playoff games, feeling good, then I'm gonna be like dropping it to like a one. That's I think where my level is going. Jaylen Brown looked great. He's the other big positive. I mean, the two huge positives out of this game really are Kemba and Jaylen. Jaylen looked just fantastic. He's easily been the Celtics' best player throughout the first two scrimmages. He played 27 minutes, which was nice. He looked completely in control for almost all of those 27 minutes. Nothing rushed, nothing forced necessarily. Maybe one or two shots that were, but even those, you're like, you know, when you're feeling it, I was fine with everything. I was fine with everything. 7 of 13, 21 points in 27 minutes. Just a nice game from Jaylen Brown, who, let's see, what were his other stats? A couple of turnovers, not a big deal. He had a steal. He got that technical foul. And one rebound. 4 of 4 from the line. That's a nice. 3 of 6 from 3. It's awesome. 4 of 4 from the line. You know, Jaylen hitting free throws and hitting them at a high level. Perfect. Beautiful. Chef's kiss. Mwah. Love it. Perfect game from Jaylen, really. Interesting that he would bring the ball up sometimes. That's kind of like the Celtics offense. You got Kemba on the floor, Marcus Smart's on the floor, but doesn't really matter. Any of these guys can bring the ball up and initiate it. It's not that hard to bring the ball up, make the first pass, cut, and start the action. Like, obviously, point guards are super important, but you can still be, you know, a decent ball handler and bring the ball up and pass and cut, and, you know, you're in your offense. It doesn't really matter. So, but he felt so good, and he hit that. It's going to become like known as the chicken salad shot, because Mike Gorman on the broadcast, Jaylen Brown was on the left block, kind of like against the 2-3 zone, nowhere to go. He just spun and did a Dirk-ish type of fadeaway and he just drilled it. And Mike Gorman's like, well, he made chicken salad there. Well, with the obvious reference to, you know, making chicken salad out of chicken shit. And it was funny. Jam Packard tweeted out, somebody's going to say chicken shit on the air and he's going to love it. Somewhere along the line, somebody's actually going to say that. But that chicken salad shot, that fadeaway in the lane is going to be super important. I refer to that one as a playoff shot. A lot of people call, you know, these certain playoff shots that are difficult, that are not necessarily the shots you look for. You know, obviously everything is geared towards getting to the lane, getting to the rim, layups and dunks, free throws, three-pointers. But that's also everything that teams are trying to take away. So especially a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, they shut down the lane. So like you cannot get to the rim against the Bucks. So that shot, that fadeaway in the middle of the lane that Jaylen has developed over the past season and a half, that's a perfect shot. That's a playoff shot. That's a shot that he's going to have to hit against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. If he can keep hitting that shot, perfect. That's going to be the Celtics' ability to hit mid-range shots. And it's because the mid-range is something that no one aspires to, it makes it actually, it's made it now important to be able to hit those shots. It's not a shot that you want to take all that often, but if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that I call that the body blow. I call that the shot in boxing that lowers the guard, because if you can keep hitting them with those body blows, a boxer will slowly drop his gloves and you can go for the headshot and the knockout. If you keep hitting those mid-range shots, because that's what they're going to give you. If you keep hitting them, you're going to soften that defense and they're going to drop the gloves. And in this instance, it means they're going to get away from protecting the rim. They're going to creep on up to take away some of these shots that you're hitting at a high enough clip. Now you have to hit them at like 50%. You really have to hit half of those shots. It's not easy. That shot's the reason why people don't want to take mid-range shots, because it's hard to hit them at 50%, but you have to hit them at 50% for them to be efficient. And if Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward, for that matter, and others can hit that mid-range shot, I point those two out because I think they're going to be the best at it. If they can hit those shots, that softens up a defense. So that shot right there, I think, is a very important shot. I love that Jaylen has developed that as well. The other positive, Jason Tatum, who early on started cold. My partner at Mass Live, Tom Westerholm, tweeted out, like, Jason Tatum is going through it. Like, he was missing everything, even, like, after the whistle, by the basket, in front of the basket, just trying to softly lay it over the top, and he couldn't even make that shot. But he hit a free throw, and you hear that cliche all the time. Sometimes you just need the ball, see the ball go through the rim, and he did, and then he started hitting shots. He took that step back to the left on the left wing, step back three, boom, sidestep three, boom. Then a few feet in the mid-range, same thing, sidestep, boom. Then he was feeling it. He even had like that one shot that he hit on the right side where after he hit it, he turned and looked at the bench and was like, it was one of those moments where it was like, yep, yep, see, I'm back, baby. And he did come through and play fairly well offensively after that. Now, he did take 17 shots. He really was trying to force it, I think, really trying to force his offense and look for his shot. So 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists is a nice game for him. The 6 of 17 is not particularly great, but he missed a bunch of those shots early and recovered. So I don't want to say Tatum played great, but I thought Tatum had, you know, he recovered well, and we're starting to see that next progression. He had one of his signature weak side steals and breakaway dunks. That's nice. Whenever you see those, that's when you really know that Tatum's going to start going. And before I wrap up the positives, got to mention that Gordon Hayward, 6 of 10, 3 of 5 from 3, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought he had a very nice game. Again, completely in control, had everything kind of working. He was aggressive, went to the rim, you know, comfortably shot his threes. After talking about all the sight lines and all the issues with, you know, the backdrops in the first game, looks like he's getting used to it. And he shot very well. I thought Hayward was very good. Also very good is rockauto.com. If you are a car owner, you need to go to rockauto.com for anything you need for your car. Doesn't matter how complicated it is. If you know how to fix your car, fix something in your engine, then you can go to rockauto.com. Don't go to one of those chain stores in the strip malls. You know that they're just going to have to order the part that you want anyway. There's a very low chance that they're going to have what you need, what you want in stock. So instead of going there to tell another person all of the stuff that you need and have that person order it, just skip the trip. Stay at home, go to rockauto.com, enter all the same information that that person's going to ask you for. Just enter it into your computer and you get it shipped directly to you. You don't even have to go pick it up. Perfect. RockAuto.com has the same prices for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. They're not charging different prices. They're not giving somebody, you know, a break on the price. Their prices aren't going to shift based on the market. The price is the price. Okay? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So if you go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts, you're going to find hundreds of manufacturers, like I said, from something complicated like an engine control module to something simple like a tail lamp. I can change that. I can put motor oil in my car. I can put a windshield wiper on. I can get that stuff at rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify. Start with the good, now with the bad. The transition defense was god awful. And Brad Stevens, it was funny. So I asked him, transition defense was bad. And he said, is that the adjective you would use? And I said, well, in public, yes. And he says, whatever word you were going to use is how I feel about it. And so you can use whatever much stronger word you want to talk about with the transition defense. It was terrible, horrible. They watched the Suns go up and down the floor. Every time the Suns got out, it felt like every time they had an opportunity to score on the break, they did. They had dunks, they had layups. He said that there was a lot of staring going on rather than running. And I asked if it was more them being gassed versus them being kind of lazy. And I think he didn't want to call his team lazy. He also didn't want to give them an excuse. Bottom line is that Celtics transition defense, if they do this, just terrible. And he said flat out, if they play like this against Milwaukee, Milwaukee could set records. Like that level of transition defense, if they pull that off, and look, that's going to happen sometimes. Maybe it was because it was early. Maybe they just didn't care. Maybe they weren't, I don't know, they weren't focused. I don't know what it is, but if they play this kind of transition defense against any good team in any game that matters, they're going to get roasted. And the thing that bothers me about that is that it is an effort thing. Getting back on defense is just effort. It's trying. And if these guys are at all thinking, well, it's just a scrimmage, then I have a problem with that. I hope they don't think that. I would have a problem with that because the whole point of this is to ramp up so you can get to the point that you need to be. The whole point of this is to get into that game shape. The whole point of this is to get into that basketball shape. And if you're not going to run back hard on defense, then you're not going to get into that basketball shape because that's something that just requires that extra burst, that extra bit of adrenaline. That's the type of play. Getting back on defense is something that you need to do to get into basketball shape because all of a sudden it's a sudden change of direction. You have to put your head down and run. You have to think on the fly. You have to see where the cross matches are. You're going to decide if you get back and you get the stop, then you have to go through the whole process of, okay, who's got the mismatch and how can we fix that mismatch if it exists? You know what I mean? So like if in this transition, Kemba Walker ends up cross matched onto DeAndre Ayton, then somebody's got to figure out how to switch off of that real quick. And you got to recognize that right away before the Suns can take advantage of it and put Kemba in a bad position to take a charge, try to take a charge and get hurt, draw a foul or commit a foul, I should say. That's something that all comes with getting back on defense. So it's not just about, I don't feel like running back. It's about expending your energy, making your body get used to that change of direction, and then getting yourself to the point where you're seeing the floor, you're making your decisions, and you're honing that skill back. So that's why I have a problem with how bad that transition defense was. And they have to fix that. It's as simple as you have to go out there. You've got one more scrimmage coming up on Tuesday. One more scrimmage. You got to go out there and play hard. You get 2 days off after that. You got to go out there and play hard and do those things that are necessary to winning. You can't get lazy. The other negative, and it's just more of a complaint, I guess, and this Cantor drives me crazy sometimes. I watch him play pick and roll with guys, and he does the exact same thing every time you pick and roll. He'll set the pick. Now, if you've set a good pick, that's great, and you can free a guy up. But he sets the pick, and he dives to the same spot every time. And if you are predictable at all in the NBA or any professional sport, you can be defended in that sport if you are playing a sport where there's defense. So it doesn't matter in golf, you know what I mean? But if you're predictable in any way, then the defense can react. And especially when Cantor is predictable in diving where he dives, and that puts a lot of pressure on the guard or the ball handler to figure out what to do in traffic. Now, Marcus Smart handles that well. Marcus Smart handles that so well. He makes great passes in tight spots. And for a guard to navigate that, you have to be able to draw those defenders. And sometimes it's as simple as you can stop. If you got a defender on your back, then you see those guys stop. And they sometimes call that putting him in jail. like a with that dribble. He stops. The defender's like on his back. The defender can't go anywhere. He's stuck. And then at that point, the ball handler takes off, knowing that that one guy's behind him, and he forces the big to make a decision. If you can get that scenario, then that's okay, because then you can dump the ball off. Marcus Smart is great at that. He's great at making passes in tight spots. I love watching him do that. He did a couple times for Cantor today, and it was fun. It was fun, but it's not there all the time. That lane clogging, it works for Cantor, because a lot of times, if you watch the pick and roll, Cantor's guy kind of just navigates over, and you get a natural double team that makes that shot for the ball handler a little harder. And you hear them say, well, just take the shot because Cantor's there. He's going to clean it up. Well, yeah, he's going to clean it up because his guy's already left to go the double team to force the miss. And that leaves Cantor in a position to clean it up. So for Cantor, it works. It's a nice little game for Cantor. Clog the lane. Your guy goes over, makes it a tough shot. You're there to put back the miss. I mean, in the end, it's a basket. So, I mean, it is what it is. But just sometimes I watch that, and I mean, if he's going to be out there, then that's what he's going to do. I really wish that Robert Williams could get some time or earn some time. I'm assuming that Brad Stevens isn't playing him because he's not ready to be played. But God, I wish Robert Williams could get in there and get some minutes, because even if you get the same type of dive to the basket, he puts that vertical spacing. He creates that vertical spacing with his ability to catch the lob. Like, you have to respect that. So he does create space, even though all he's going to do is dive as well. He's going to go up and get these. You have to respect it differently than Cantor. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Maybe that's not going to be something that drives me too crazy. But sometimes, it just frustrates me. Next segment. Have you been distracted by the music and the audio in these games? I have.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Let's finish up the show with some odds and ends. Let me start with the audio on the broadcast. I don't know if you heard it, if you were watching on NBC Sports Boston. It looked like somebody was tap dancing. It sounded like somebody was tap dancing for the whole second half. I don't know what that was, but part of the game presentation is they're figuring that out. I hope they figure that out. And the music, I'm not one of those people that cares too much about the music during games, but it seemed like especially loud. Did anybody else notice that? Seemed especially loud. Might have just been my speakers. I don't know, but it was like distracting loud for me. We'll see what happens with the game presentation. I'm so fascinated with how this game presentation is going to go, what these seating games are going to look like, what kind of robotic cameras they're going to add. They said they're going to add robotic cameras. So that was just something that was bothersome. I thought Romeo Langford, Tremont Waters, Carson Edwards all had their moments. Romeo had a nice little performance there, had that dunk, hit a three. He finished 3 of 6 for 9 points. Carson Edwards also 3 of 6, 7 points. Romeo got to the line a couple of times, so 2 of 5 from the line, which is but 3 rebounds for Romeo, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. Thought it was nice. He did a decent job. He and Tremont Waters found a nice little groove. Tremont Waters had 3 assists in this one. Carson, I thought, it was important for him to have a game like this where it wasn't just because of his 3-point shooting. He was only 1 of 3, but a couple rebounds, an assist, a steal, doing the other things, like that stuff is important. And so just, you root for these guys, and I don't know what Carson Edwards' career is going to look like. He's not going to have the same type of pro role that he did in college, not in the NBA, not at least not yet. And I don't know, I'm not going to put his rookie season in this situation as like, I'm not going to say that that's what his entire career is going to be. I'm not that dumb. I might say some dumb things, but I'm not that dumb. You just don't know because it's only his rookie season and he barely plays. So, but it feels like if he does earn a bigger role in the NBA, I've said it before, he's going to have to learn to come in and not have to take 8 shots to get hot. And we did a pregame Periscope, Tom Westerholm and I, and he said on that Periscope, Carson Edwards is a streaky shooter, really streaky shooter. And you can't have that. He's going to have to figure out a way to fix that and not be streaky. Or if he's going to be streaky, you got to come in hot. You got to find a way to come in hot because you're not going to get those opportunities to shoot the ball 10 times or whatever. So you can miss your first 6, but then get on a heater. Like that's just not, you're not going to have that amount of time. So him doing other things I thought was important and, you know, noteworthy. The Celtics still do not know how to throw alley-oops. And Jason Tatum probably made everyone gasp with his alley-oop attempt to Gordon Hayward, which put Hayward in this awkward position, another awkward Gordon Hayward alley-oop, when all Tatum had to do was just drop it down, a little bounce pass. We would have had a nice little dunk. But that alley-oop was misguided at best and made Hayward land awkwardly, and everyone was like, oh, okay. Because that's what we have. We have PTSD when it comes to Hayward going up for alley-oops. And anytime he comes down, it looks like he might be coming down awkwardly. So, guys, learn to throw an alley-oop or at least make a better pass. Other notes, Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was okay. He had a nice line, actually, in this game. He's 10 points, 5 of 5, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. So, I mean, that's a nice little game, but a little sloppy, 4 turnovers. I think that he's probably a little rusty too, and I think he's not where he needs to be, and he'll probably tell you that. But oddly, Marcus Smart did not take a 3. I'm shocked to see that Marcus Smart did not take a 3. That's wild. But those passes, a couple of those passes that he made, like I said before, oh, beautiful. Grant Williams, shout out to Grant Williams, who got in first half, and when the Celtics were struggling in the first half, he came in, played some nice defense, kind of helped the Celtics kind of turn around and rebound from a real kind of rough patch there where they I forget what the run was, but they gave up a big run. And, you know, Grant comes in and does what he does and plays some good defense and helps the Celtics turn things around. That was a positive. Shout out to Grant Williams. I think we're trying to figure out how much he's going to give the Celtics in the playoffs. How much can you rely on a rookie in the playoffs? And, you know, a thought just popped into my head about, like, well, what are the reasons why you can't count on a rookie? They're susceptible to a lot of those playoff atmospheres, but he's not going to walk into Milwaukee and have an angry crowd. He's not going to walk into Philly and be like, oh my God, I'm trembling at the thought of playing in front of this crowd. There's no crowd. There's none of that stuff. So maybe you get an opportunity for a rookie to make a better contribution than he normally would in the playoffs, because even though the playoffs are more intense and you're playing better teams, without the fans, without the distraction, without the travel, without all this other, you know, ancillary crap, that takes away a level of anxiety. So maybe Grant can make a difference. If he can, that'd be huge, because the Celtics need exactly what he gives, you know, a little do-it-all, everything. And if he can come in and hit some threes, then if he can actually hit some big shots, then obviously he's going to get himself some playing time. And the last thing I just wanted to say early on in this game, and it kind of slacked off as they continued, but I saw real good early signs, good rotations, good switches defensively. I think, especially in the first quarter, there were times where it looked fluid. It just looked fluid. You know, a guy got beat. Gordon Hayward got beat. Jaylen Brown slid over. I forget what the play exactly was, but Jaylen Brown slid over and cut the guy off and just switched. And Hayward just perfectly went and picked up, like the switch was communicated well. It was executed well. You cut a guy off. What might have been a casual layup in the first scrimmage, that was prevented in this one. Now, the transition defense, like I said, was terrible, but some of the half-court defense I thought was better. And even on offense, we saw the ball moving a lot more. And that is more so than anything, more so than the shots going in, the communication, the execution. You just want to see it get incrementally better. Shake off a little bit of that rust. It's not all going to come off in one shot. Shake off some of that rust. Shake off a little bit more on Tuesday. And then the seeding games are essentially more kind of preseason games as far as I'm concerned, with the exception of like a couple of them. Like, I think that Miami game is going to be big because you want to make sure that you nothing crazy happens and Miami goes on a run. Like, you want to make sure that you don't fall into that fourth seed. I think the Celtics are going to be pretty comfortably the third seed, but you just want to beat Miami and kind of hold them down to that fourth seed. Stay in that third seed. It's fine. You're probably going to face the Pacers. They do have Oladipo back, it seems, but they lost Domantas Sabonis. Like, he left the bubble to go deal with plantar fasciitis. So things do not look great for the Indiana Pacers. He's a big part of what they do. So it looks like a first round matchup against the Pacers is just fine for the Celtics. No need to go crazy. Play your seeding games, ramp it up a little bit more, and then get to those playoffs feeling good and healthy, and everybody will be good. That's a post-game podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. All of you new listeners, if you're a first-time listener and you have enjoyed this podcast, this is a perfect time to subscribe to the podcast. Just right now, wherever you got it, just click subscribe. Boom. Like the show. I'm going to listen to it. It's Monday through Friday, so you have 5 days a week that you can listen to the show. So I hope you listen to them all five. Some of you do. I love it. I love that you do that. That's awesome. You can follow on Spotify. You can rate 5 stars on Spotify, on wherever podcasting app you use. Give a good written review so the next person who comes along and makes a decision on whether they should be listening to this podcast, they see your review, they go, oh, okay, you like this show? I'm going to check it out too. That's a big help. That really does help. Everyone else, thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to check out rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Hey, check out the Locked On NBA podcast all week long. Previews, 3 to 4 minute capsule previews. Every team in the restart this week gets covered in these previews. It's a nice primer to get back up to speed. So check out the Locked On NBA podcast as well.